The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Second half of the show is live. A lot of it, obviously, about the situation in Tuscaloosa. We'll change gears here in a few minutes, or actually a couple of times as we work our way through the program. Let's get back to our calls. Mike is in Los Angeles. Hello, Mike.
Hope you and your wife and your dogs are doing well, Paul.
We're doing great. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. I just wanted to make an observation and then just present a hypothetical. I mean, my observation is there's a certain kind of, I don't know if you would call it qualitative justice or transactional justice. And what I mean by that is the way that they're treating this case and the way things have kind of slowly leaked out. And then, like you said, they've been spinning it every which way. Let's imagine for a case there was a student in the dorms or just a student at the University of Alabama. And that student, his friend, had been out doing whatever. And let's say a football player or a basketball player, they got in a fight or they had, quote-unquote, a beef. Something was going down. And that other student said, hey, you know, bring me my gun, bring my car back. There was a gun in it. And let's say an All-American or a significant football player or basketball player, and they had been killed. How do you think they would have treated the kid who drove the car and brought the gun?
Yeah, I mean, Mike, no, this is not breaking news. There's a double standard when it comes to anyone who has notoriety, or especially on a college campus when it comes to a star athlete.
And lastly, I'd like to ask you, as this kind of drags out and Bama, you know, foreseeing, barring unforeseen circumstances, will probably be a one seed in the tournament, and then more of the national media are going to kind of sink their teeth into this. And if Miller doesn't have to sit, how do you see it playing out? And is this going to be a black eye on Alabama?
Mike, my guess is yes. As Alabama advances in the tournament, this becomes a bigger story, even if nothing new happens. But something will always be happening in a case like this. And, you know, you're seeing some of the signs of it already today. The mother giving an interview. It's one thing to give an interview to USA Today. It's another thing to give an interview to 60 Minutes or Good Morning America. Anything I say is going to be misinterpreted. But I would imagine that the media attention is going to be ratcheted up. And I think what we saw yesterday was a small sample of where this story is going.
And just, I believe in my heart, there's no way that Miller suspected that what was going to go down was going to go down. But, you know, where does culpability lie when you're, you know, when you bring the gun, potentially block them in, and you're trading text and saying there's one in the chamber and everything else? I don't know the answer. I don't know his involvement, but I feel like you kind of don't get off scot-free. And I think if Alabama continues to treat him with kid gloves and nothing happens, that there's going to be larger ramifications.
Mike, and, I think, you know, it, again, I mean, there are a lot of theories about bad news from public relations experts. And some of the theories go, get the bad news out of the way as fast as possible. I think that would have been the proper thing to do at this point. Alabama could have just, I'm just going to give you a hypothetical. Had Alabama, the day after the shooting, announced that Brandon Miller had been suspended, the problem then becomes, what was his role? You can do the same spinning that you're doing now. You didn't have all the information then. But you still had enough. At some point, that's when I think they could have gotten ahead of the story. Suspending him last night really didn't do anything other than to satisfy the barbarians at the gate. I mean, Greg Byrne said this. There really isn't anything new. I mean, they learn things, yes, unless they come up with something else. I don't think they can go down that road. I mean, it seems to me that they've dug their heels in defending Brandon Miller.
And eventually, you know, you'll go through the tournament and he'll be in the NBA. But there's going to be a murder trial. And they're going to look to the DA and who they charge and how they treated and then the case and stuff. And so, you know, it's unfortunate that a single mother lost her life. And as one of your, I forget which reporter was, said that there could have been a greater loss of life, the proximity right. to all the students. So it's a sad story, and just prayers for the family and prayers for this child.
Thank you very, very much for the call. Appreciate it. Gary is in Ohio. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Paul. I was calling about the whole Brandon Miller situation and just giving you a perspective from 30,000 feet from a non-Alabama fan, so to speak. I consider myself a non-prejudiced, you know, evaluator of things that go on. But I'll tell you how Alabama looks in all this from my perspective, from a Yankee perspective for your audience. And that is, number one, I haven't seen Alabama look this bad since George Wallace blocked the admission of those kids, the black kids, to Alabama University. That's number one. Number two, the whole state of Alabama, and particularly anybody who's going to mine with an IQ over 50, hasn't looked as bad since Atticus Finch, since Gregory Peck immortalized Atticus Finch and Harper Lee's brilliant To Kill a Mockingbird. Those are a couple of thoughts from the north, from above the Mason-Dixon line.
Well, Gary, I don't think we have the time. I don't think I have enough time in my life to try to respond to what you just got through saying. You're talking
just
about
a couple of perspectives. That's all it was. A couple of perspectives.
Both of the cases you cited involve a racist governor standing in the schoolhouse door trying to block a young woman from attending the University of Alabama. In To Kill a Mockingbird, you're talking about a young black man accused falsely of raping a white woman. I'm just asking you, can you draw me a direct line to that situation and now?
No, I cannot draw a direct line. I'm just giving you the court of public opinion. In the court of public opinion, what it looks like is, wow, these people in Alabama are either inbred or they're stupid. You pick.
Normally, I would not respond to something like that because it doesn't serve a purpose. But I tried to I tried to give him a chance to at least connect one dot, and I don't think he did. I'm gonna listen to the corner and crevices of my mind and say thank you for being a part of the program, and we'll come back with Chris Fanini right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, Brand name treatments like Viagra or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Well, we are back, and the headline, streaming won't save college football as we know it because it's not saving TV. Chris Vanini from The Athletic has drawn a lot of conversation from this piece. And we will talk to Chris right now. Chris, thanks for being here. First, you've become a cause celeb on Twitter for discussing this. Good afternoon, and tell us all about this.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me. There's nothing more than fans like to talk about than the actual broadcast they're watching. Sometimes more than the game itself. It's the broadcasters, it's the game, it's where you're watching it, it's whatever. And this is an idea, this is something I've thought about for a long time. Back in the fall about what is the future of streaming in college football, but it really kind of came together with the New York Post report yesterday that Apple TV Plus, is a looking at Pac-12 rights, potentially all of the rights. And so I kind of just wanted to put together, like, I don't think this is a great situation for everybody, but I also don't know if there's a clean answer for everybody.
And not to get too deep into television, streaming is obviously the rage, but it does still seem, I don't know, maybe more awkward for sports than it is for other things. And I don't know why, but I'll lean on you to try to explain, because we saw this with Amazon and the NFL. It seemed difficult for some people to get there where it used to be a lot easier.
Yeah, I mean, for a decade now, people have talked about there being a sports TV bubble. The bubble for TV rights was going to eventually burst and it was going to go down because cable subscribers were going down. But people realized cable subscribers are going down and sports, specifically football, are the only thing keeping them up where they are. I mean, that's where the only place you can really get the NFL for the most part for a long time. And so sports are now keeping live TV alive. It's not the same thing happening on streaming where you've got bits and pieces going on to Peacock. The Big Ten's going to put basketball games on Peacock. You've got the SEC obviously has some games on ESPN Plus. Big 12 has done that as well. Baseball is on Apple TV Plus. So it's now to fully watch, to be a sports fan, you now have to pay for a lot more things than maybe you used to. And I think that's caused a lot of frustration among fans.
Yeah, I feel somewhat reluctant to even talk about this considering where I work and where this program is emanating from, because there's no question ESPN is the largest item that you pay for on a cable bill, is it not?
Yes, I don't know the exact numbers, but if it's not the highest, it's one of the highest. And that's the real issue here, is that these companies that are moving to streaming, you're paying less of a price for that than you are for cable. So we're not having a clean break from cable to streaming. It's not like the TV is turning off and now you got to go to streaming. It's mixing and matching both of those right now. And companies are in this weird spot where the linear TV is the one that's still making them the money. They're not making money on streaming yet. They're losing billions of dollars, a lot of different companies are, on streaming. So can you make that a quicker or softer push, or is that not going to work out at the end? Netflix is profitable now, but it took a long time to get there, and it's not clear if these other places are going to be able to do that. And so you've got kind of hands in both of them right now, where fans have to watch some games, you have to have cable to watch them, but you also might have to pay to watch some others too.
Chris, I realize you cover sports, but since you're writing about television, can you explain why it's so difficult to turn a profit on streaming?
Well, production costs are immense for content, for the technology to do it all, and also the price. I mean, you can get, I don't know exactly what every price is, but $5, $10, $15 is generally what you're paying per month for a lot of this stuff. And that's not necessarily equal to what maybe ESPN is getting through all of its different cable rights fees. I mean, Disney has to, you know, I know we're on SEC Network here, but Disney has said, we don't want to get rid of ESPN. ESPN is making us money. Like, it wouldn't be business sense at this point to get rid of it. So it's kind of this weird spot in between now where, is streaming the future? Maybe, but the numbers haven't quite been there yet, you know, where you're not losing billions of dollars. And these companies now are making some pretty drastic cuts, cutting back on content, sometimes making layoffs, hoping to get profitable by 2024, 2025. But if the economy goes in a bad direction, maybe that changes as well. All of these companies, really except for Fox, when it comes to sports, jumped into streaming standalone. You've got Peacock, you've got Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, Paramount Plus. Fox didn't really do that, and they feel like they're in a pretty good spot right now because they're not losing billions of dollars on doing something like that.
And when the Big 12 story came out, I didn't view it very positively. What does this portend? In terms of where we go from here, and I ask you that knowing that most of the media rights deals, the big ones, are done, are they not?
Yes, the Pac-12's in a difficult spot right now. That doesn't mean they can't come up with a good deal. That doesn't mean they're not going to be okay. I still think the odds are that they'll be okay and that they'll stick together for this next media rights deal. But, you know, Fox has already said they're not really interested in re-upping with the Pac-12. And so if you're the Pac-12, you're kind of running out of options. You're talking with ESPN, you're talking with Amazon, and now you're talking maybe with Apple. But I don't think Apple and Amazon are going to be the kind of leverage you want to try to get a better deal out of ESPN. All these media deals, you need companies bidding on you. That's why the Big Ten and SEC got such big deals, because so many people watch their games. Everybody wants to get involved. That's why the Big Ten is now going to be on three different broadcast networks moving forward. The Pac-12 is not as valuable. And when the Big 12 decided to jump ahead and take a deal that was probably under market value, but it gave them security and it kept them together and it got them with a pretty good deal, the Pac-12 was suddenly starting to run out of options. And so it was in the New York Post report yesterday that Apple TV considering maybe all of the Pac-12 goes on Apple TV Plus. That's what MLS, Major League Soccer, is doing. I don't think that's a good answer. Maybe that's just being used as leverage, as a possibility to try to drive up the price on what the Pac-12 can get.
Chris, as we wrap this up, I'm trying to think of what's left. I mean, obviously, the Pac-12 is the centerpiece of this, but fairly soon, at some point, we are going to get into the CFP television conversation. This first 2 years, I still don't know what it's going to look like. Maybe you do, but do we have any idea what all this is going to be worth as we finally got this 12-team playoff, and we're about to find out who wants it?
Well, one of the reasons they finally pushed forward and completed the 12-team playoffs is because they knew they were leaving billions of dollars on the table by not expanding it. Fox has already said it wants to get involved. It wants to broadcast the CFP, much like multiple networks broadcast the NFL playoffs and stuff like that. So the playoff is still going to bring in a lot of money. And for those conferences like the Pac-12, like the ACC, the ones that aren't at the SEC and Big Ten level, that's good. That'll be extra money that you need. How it breaks up, we don't know yet. At the current moment, the Power Five conferences get equal money. That may not be the case in 2026 and beyond when they do the new TV deal. That's one of the biggest things they're going to have to deal with. And that's ultimately the thesis of what the column was. You know, if you're the SEC, if you're the Big Ten, if you're the NFL, the NBA, the CFP, like, you're going to be okay. TV networks are still going to bid heavily and try to get your rights because you have a lot of viewers. But if you're the Pac-12, if you're maybe the Big 12 the next time it comes around, if you're smaller conferences, smaller leagues, you're kind of running out of room because more and more of that available money is going to the big leagues like the Big Ten and the SEC.
Great stuff. We'll leave it there. Chris Vanini from The Athletic. Always fascinating to check in with Chris. We'll take a short break here. Much more from you on the phones at 855-242-7285. A little bit later on, we'll talk to Rachel Bachman from The Wall Street Journal. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And welcome back as we continue more of your phone calls. And Carol is up next in Knoxville. Carol, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Paul, I've been listening to all the discussion about Miller. And there's such wild perspectives on this thing. But if someone assumes that this group of young men went to a club, they were in Miller's car. The other guys have whatever they have in their possession. They get to the club. Miller decides not to stay because the line was too long, and he leaves, and he's going to pick them up later. And that time arrives, and he's on his way back to the club to pick up his friends. And the guy sends a text. Whether he even saw it or not is not known. But he may not have even read the text yet. But if he read the text, he may have said, you know, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't have the gun. I'm just, you know, I'm not turning around going back to someplace. I'm just going on to pick them up. He gets there. They're in the parking lot, which they were, and he pulls up to them to pick them up. He's not blocking a car. He's just picking up his friends where they are. Miles jumps in the car. He gets the gun, hands it off, and everything goes crazy. So if that is the situation, I don't understand what Miller is guilty of. And that apparently is what the police have determined is in the DA is that he isn't guilty of anything. I mean, anyone could have been in that situation. And why people think, I've heard everything from he handed off the gun, he said that the gun was loaded, he did this, he did that. But that is what the evidence has shown as far as the testimony. So what is he guilty of?
Well, Carol,
what is he to be charged with?
Yeah, well, let's take it a step further. It's pretty obvious he wasn't charged with anything. And I realize cases unfold and things can change, but it's highly unlikely that's going to happen here. But secondly, the thing that a lot of people want, I was on a show earlier with two people who wanted it, what was the university going to suspend him over too? If what you laid out, and that's exactly the version that's being put out by his attorneys and the university, what were they going to? He clearly was at the wrong place. I know that sounded like that's what Nate Oates said. It's easy to say, and you get applause when you do, that he should have gone home. He shouldn't have gone there. But there are a lot of questions. It's very easy to know whether he read the text or not. I don't know that, though.
Yeah, but even if he did, if he didn't, he wouldn't have necessarily known, and he said he did not, and I think he has a presumption of innocence, is that the gun was in the car.
Yeah.
I mean, even if he read the text, he could have said.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm privy to this, but there's probably a good chance the gun was left under something. It wasn't just sitting out.
Yeah, exactly.
It was under a coat or something.
Yes. So he, you know, if he doesn't know it's in the car, and he's on his way to get them,
right.
Even if
no,
he
I hear,
reads
I hear
the
you.
Text, he's going to go on. He goes on to pick them up, and he pulls in, and they you know, the testimony has been that within just seconds, because obviously Miles knows what's in the car.
Yeah, I mean, there is a difference, Carol, in sending somebody a text saying, bring me my gun, this guy is harassing me and I'm going to take care of him, and the response is, on my way. That's a whole different story than what we have.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I don't understand is everybody thinks that, and I mean, it's a tragedy of epic proportions. I mean, there's no going back. That's why I hate guns and why the gun laws in this country are crazy. But anyway, the thing is, this young man, I mean, this could have happened if anyone would put themselves in that situation, or their son or their daughter, whatever, put themselves into a situation where they had no impact on this situation, and they now, everybody is ready to persecute him and the University of Alabama for something that he had no culpability in. Of course, everybody puts, you know, attributes a lot of things to him that just aren't right. I mean, the fact that he hands off the gun, or he does this, or he does that, and he didn't. He came there to pick up his friends, and it's, you know, it is on them what they did at that point in time.
And Carol, that's why since the middle of January, those two are in jail, and Brandon Miller, as best we know, is continuing to play basketball. Thank you for the call. Jim is up next.
That's the best call I've heard regarding the other side of the story. And it's thank you, Carol, for at least being so reasonable and not being persecuted and wanting to be a self-appointed prosecutor. As so many people are doing in this situation. Thank you for opening the eyes, or opening the situation, or opening the quite good possibility that Miller was completely innocent and just trying to help his friend by picking him up. Had nothing. No, in other words, thank you very much, Carol. That's a great call. What do you think, Paul?
Well, I think what she amplified there, Jim, is that there are always various versions of a situation, and that is clearly the and by the way, she did a much better job of presenting herself there than anybody I've heard speaking for the university.
That's exactly right, Paul. I love Carol's everything she did and said. I think it was eloquent, absolutely eloquent.
Well, again, I've heard some generalizations tonight that are stupefying. But then again, I do understand the emotions here.
Yeah, well, maybe you can't understand the emotions, but you also understand it could be an innocent, complete life, like she said, being prosecuted, being dragged over through the mud. He will never be able to get his good name back if he's completely innocent and ignorant of what happened that night. That's hard.
Well, one thing is certain here. I mean, whether he finishes whether he plays the rest of the way, regardless of what Alabama does the rest of the way, there will be a trial, and there'll be multiple trials here. There's going to be both criminal and civil litigation ahead. So we will. I'm going to spare you the cliches, but his role in this is going to come out.
And if it's true and innocent, that's what we hope. Hopefully, that will come out. You know. If he's completely ignorant of the situation and innocent of what they're trying to charge him with, or lock him up, garbage. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying, Paul.
Thank you, Jim. Ginger is up next. Hello, Ginger.
Hi, how are you? I just got a couple of things to say. First of all,
Ginger, we could not make your call out. Let's see if we can maybe get you back on a better connection. Thank you very much for the call. Let's check out Tom in Tulsa. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Paul, thanks for taking my call. I want to go through maybe something the opposite of what Carol was talking about. In my opinion, I think it's a problem that the University of Alabama is trying to defend the innocence or guilt of a student. I think what they need to defend is whether or not he should be in school or not in school. I think that there's a process in place in Alabama as to how students are treated, and they go through a process with student affairs in order to make a determination if they should be in school or not in school.
Correct.
I think for the AD, for Burns, to come out and make statements defending the innocence is a real problem. They should just be defending whether or not the kid has rights to be in school. And I think a lot of people are missing that point.
Well, you may be right. Listen, I mean, Brandon Miller is very likely going to be the number one player taken this in the NBA draft. He's not going to be in school much longer. And by the way, that should not be germane to this issue. He has to be eligible to play in the basketball tournament, but he's already eligible. So I think all these things are going to be after the fact.
Yeah, but Paul, the kid has rights while he's in school right now.
He does. He absolutely does. And right now, I think the university made it very clear yesterday. They feel comfortable with what he has told them, and what others have told them about his role.
I disagree that the university is protecting those rights. I think they took away those rights and made a decision from the administration instead of through student affairs and the.
Well, what I don't understand is this, though, Tom. The athletic director said yesterday that they didn't have their own investigation, but they obviously came to some conclusion, did they not?
Well, but that's exactly the point, Paul. The deal is that when you go through student affairs and it gets elevated to this place, there is an investigation. And it's not about.
But Tom, for there to be a student conduct inquiry, someone must bring it to the attention. I don't know the protocol. I haven't read the handbook, although I've had it texted me 1,000 times. Nobody has done that to the best of my knowledge. So this is not an active issue in front of the university at the moment.
And that's my point, that the university decided to do this on their own through the administration instead of taking it through the normal protocol. When they did that, I think that they took away some of the rights of Brandon and that they screwed it up.
Well,
the AD should be defending whether or not he's allowed to be in school, not whether he's innocent or guilty. If they had gone through a student trial, a student hearing.
But Tom, I hear you loud and clear, and I don't mean to cut you off here, but we have to go to a break. But somebody from the university, and I'm not speaking of the other, somebody had to bring charges against him for misconduct, and nobody's done that. So the athletic department is not going to say, oh, listen, we're asking for an independent investigation. They concluded that no criminal charges were going to be filed. Therefore, he was not involved. They felt comfortable. He apparently did not. This is not me, but apparently he didn't violate any team code of conduct, any team rules. And Nate Oates and the university decided he is good to go. We're up against the break. Thanks for the call. Back with more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back here late on Thursday. Let's go back to Ginger in the ATL. Ginger, thank you.
Hi. I just wanted to say a couple things. I was born and raised in Alabama. I moved after I got out of high school. So, and, for, and another thing about this basketball players, no one knows the whole story except the police and hopefully the lawyers. People are spending way too much time making opinions about something they really don't know anything about. We really don't know the true story about the basketball player. This all needs to play out in the court system. But what, because I truly believe we don't know everything, that we're not supposed to know everything. But the thing that really bothered me was, I was born, I was born and raised in Alabama, but that asinine piece of a human being named Gary from Ohio. First of all, if you were born and raised in Alabama, you know about George Wallace. And then the story about the Kill a Mockingbird. He went back to things that's totally irrelevant, but the real bad thing was he called people in Alabama inbred. That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard. Maybe Gary needs to stick to Ohio and quit worrying about what goes on in the South, and he needs to keep his racist opinions to himself. Because I was offended because I'm not inbred, and there's no one that I know that's inbred, and I just thought that was very inappropriate. And people are spending way too much time worrying about this boy's, this basketball player, whose life might be ruined before the whole truth comes out.
Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with NJ. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Pine. Mom, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I want to refer to this. I mean, I hate that this someone lost their life, this young lady here, on the situation and everything. But on the gun law there in Alabama, as of January 1st is where they passed that. You know, it's talking about people's to carry a concealed handgun without state permit. They can do that openly like that. And that's just the state laws, you know. He has a right just as much as anybody else does. And I think they forget about it. And I want to ask you, do you think all this would have mattered as much if Alabama wouldn't been so highly ranked and he wasn't such a good player?
NJ, in terms of the attention that it's getting, that's the driving influence, of course. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. And Jason is up next. Hello, Jason.
Mr. Feinbaum, thank you for taking my phone call. After the last couple of callers, I'm not sure if I want to respond, but I will procure the laws that might incarcerate this young man had the prosecution not dropped the ball. First one's called depraved indifference. The second law is called a principle of, or being a principle of, a felony crime or felony murder. And the term principle makes the crime harsher, the sentence harsher. So if you look those two definitions of law, this is not, you know, I don't know all the facts as the young lady previously spoke. I just know what you have spoken. Something about he had let them know that there was a live round in the chamber would lead me to believe that he knew the gun was there. He knew the bullet was in the gun. That would make him culpably negligent. That would be what you call a principle to a crime. You can look it up. I've studied law, been in law all my life, prosecution and the defense side. It's more of a prosecutorial type of situation when that is used. And my assessment is the prosecution has dropped the ball in this case.
Jason, let me question you on where do you think they have dropped the ball?
The prosecution?
Yes.
Well, okay, let's say, for example, you showed up with a gun, Joe Schmo. A woman lost her life. Whoever brings the gun to the crime is just as guilty of the crime. If you read the law the way it stipulates, especially of the Constitution, unfortunately, police officers don't generally know the law, and they don't generally know the laws where they coincide with the Constitution of this country. And you have prosecutors that don't even know the law. They have law clerks, sometimes 20 or 30 of them, that have to look up case law so that they can know the law. In other words, they didn't really learn the law in law school.
Well, listen, Jason, and but this isn't some intern writing an opinion Jason, you're jumping to a lot of conclusions here, but this is not an intern writing an opinion for a senior judge. I would think by the time, the player Miller was clearly interviewed. He was key to the case. So you're telling me that they don't, when they're interviewing this guy, they're not asking these type of questions?
No, I'm telling you that there's a good possibility that there's a reason why they didn't bring charges.
And what are those?
Well, just think about it.
Well, no, I've thought about it for a couple of weeks. You help me out here. You've already thought about it. What is it?
A couple of your callers have already said it, not wanting to ruin a young man's future. But by the same breath that you're taking, a young woman's life was completely ruined. Her mother.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.